There we go. This story that I read earlier is probably one of the most well-known stories in the entire Bible. Even those who have never set foot in a church before, chances are this story they have heard before. And it actually is one of these Bible stories that have meant and keep meaning the most to me, and a story that I kind of keep coming back to again and again. And I'm going to come back to why in a little bit, but I thought we're going to start by looking a little bit closer at this very well-known Bible story. When this story takes place, Jesus is quite well-known. He has a growing following. And flicking through the chapters before this story, it seems like Jesus is in the middle of a fairly intense time in his ministry, with some quite spectacular healings having taken place right before this event. And to spend some time alone, have some quality time maybe with his disciples, maybe even get a little bit of rest, Jesus decides to leave the crowds kind of behind him and go up a mountain to be alone. But the people don't want to let Jesus go, so they leave the villages and follow him up to this mountain. The problem is, it seems like they're all leaving without bringing any food or anything to eat. And quite quickly, people's tummies start to kind of rumble. So Jesus turns to one of his disciples, Philip, and asks if there is anywhere near where they can buy some bread to feed these people. But Philip answers that even if there was a bakery with enough capacity to make so much bread, or a store with a large enough stock, they wouldn't be able to afford it. Not even 8 months' wages would be enough for everyone to have a little bit. Fortunately, another disciple, Andrew, steps in and tells them that he has found a young boy who's got some bread and fish, and that he is happy to share with the rest of the people there. But of course, everyone there understands that five loaves of bread and two fish, it's not going to go a very long way. There are 5,000 men plus the women and children there. It's not enough. Jesus must know this as well. And yet, he asks everyone to sit down, and then he takes this food, gives thanks, and tells the disciples to distribute it amongst all the people that are there. And everyone eats, and then the strange thing happens. Everyone is satisfied. And even stranger, the seem it's like there are even leftovers. So when everyone has finished eating, Jesus asks the disciples to gather up what is left so that nothing will go to waste. And they do, and in the end, they have 12 baskets of food left over. In short, there is more left over than there was to start off with. It's a very strange story, this one. And this story is, we have it in all four Gospels. I read it from the Gospel of John because that version is my favorite. It's the only story about a miracle who appears in all four Gospels. And the stories, they are quite similar, but because they are written by different people, there are some differences in what they focus on or what they emphasize. If you read the story in the Gospel of Matthew, you notice that, some of you might know that Matthew was a tax collector before Jesus called him to be one of his disciples. So he was used to being quite careful with numbers and details. So he specifies in his account of this event that the number of people present on this occasion were 5,000 beside women and children. That women and children weren't included when you calculated numbers of people in a crowd would otherwise have been assumed that's how you did it. But for Matthew, right is right. And Mark, in his gospel, maybe he was a little bit artistic. At least, he often uses more kind of a more descriptive language than the other evangelists when he tells his stories. So he points out that there wasn't just grass there, but the grass was green. So what's unique with John's account of this Bible event? Well, he's the only one, actually, to mention this young boy who gives his food to Jesus. And perhaps it's because John, who is believed to have been very young himself when this all took place, quite easily could identify with this young boy and therefore thought it was important to mention that the bread and the fish, it didn't just magically appear out of thin air, but it was brought to Jesus by this boy. It might seem, one might think, like a small and rather insignificant detail. Who cares who brought the bread and the fish? But for me, it makes all the difference. And I think it says so much about this God that we believe in. Because in God's eyes, this boy wasn't too young or too unimportant or insignificant to be of use. This boy, because of his age, he wasn't calculated among the 5,000 men, and we don't know his name. In the world's eyes, he was worth nothing. He was a nobody. But God saw him and chose him. And in the end, he is the one to make this miracle possible. And this is the reason to why I keep coming back to this Bible story. Because I sometimes doubt myself, question whether I am good enough. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I question whether I have what it takes to be a pastor. Maybe you sometimes doubt that you have what it takes to complete your studies or to do well at your work. Or if you are a good enough spouse or friend or parent. I've sometimes doubted all three of those. Most of the time, of course, we have no reason to worry. But we do it anyway. Am I good enough? And sometimes God and our faith are kind of mixed into that self-doubt. For me, for example, it's like I said just now, it's often been about whether I'm good enough to be in full-time ministry. Maybe there are others here tonight who have at some point thought, why would Jesus want to use me for that? You know, whatever that might be in your case. It might not be full-time ministry, but some other role at church, or doubting that your story could be used when telling people at university or a neighbor or a friend or whoever about who Jesus is. Do I really have anything to give? Am I really experienced enough to do that? I mean, I'm just me. And if you've ever thought anything like that, maybe this will turn out to be your favorite Bible story as well, because that is the reason to why it's mine. Because what God reminds me of through this Bible story is that regardless of whether we have a lot to offer or very little to offer to Jesus, it could be bread and fish, like in this Bible story, but in our case, maybe more often our talents, our money, our personality, and other abilities, our time, it's not up to us what the result is. It's up to Jesus. The outcome depends on Jesus. It is Jesus who acts through us with the things that we give to him, whether it's about bread and fish or our unique abilities. The little things, or maybe even the big things that we give to him, can go a long, long way in Jesus' hands, perhaps become greater than anything we could have ever imagined on our own. The boy in this Bible story, he only has his small lunch to give to Jesus. It wasn't much, shouldn't have lasted very long at all. And Andrew, obviously, realizes this. He sees the huge crowd, he sees the enormous need, and quite naturally draws the conclusion that this small amount of food won't be enough. But Andrew, he hasn't counted on Jesus, Because Jesus has never dealt with what's reasonable or not. And in his hands, this bread and these fish were enough. Not because of how great the bread and fish were in themselves, but because how great our God is. And there's just so much, I think, in this Bible story that we can learn from this boy. It must have been so tempting, I imagine, for this boy to keep all the food to himself. After all, it wasn't much, and it was his, but still he chose to be generous and to share it with other people. And I'm also thinking it must have been so tempting to play the hero, you know, in his own power, share the food with a few chosen ones that he had around him. But he doesn't do that. He goes to Jesus and lets Jesus work through him with what he has given him. This miracle happens because a young boy places what he's got in his hands into the hands of Jesus. And you know what? I think that's all we have to do too. Place the life that we've been given, the gifts that we've been given, in the hands of Jesus. And in Jesus' hands, it can grow much bigger than it could if we held on to it ourselves. It might even be so much of it that we don't not just have enough, but there is plenty spare, plenty left over. And I just, for me at least, this has been such a liberating thought. It's a beautiful thought that when we give what we have to Jesus, the outcome does not depend on us, but it depends on Jesus. It doesn't depend on our strength and our abilities, but on Jesus. And even if me or you, we believe that we don't have that much to offer, that might be true, or knowing quite a few of you quite well by now, I know that you have quite a lot to give. It doesn't matter whether it's a little or a lot. If we give it to Jesus, it can grow. Great things can happen when we give ourselves to Jesus. I am, of course, aware that there are also times when we give whatever it is to Jesus, and it doesn't grow as amazingly as it did in this Bible story. Unfortunately, we live in a broken world, don't we? And it can be extremely painful when the things that we hope for and we pray for doesn't happen. Why are some prayers answers and others not? It's one of the big and really difficult and painful questions of faith. But even if we don't always see the answer that we long for, I believe that when we do pray and give what we have in our hands to Jesus, more happens than if we hadn't involved him at all. And my advice to you, if you are in that situation, is to find someone that you trust and to share your pain and your questions with that person and to pray with that person. I'm here for you, obviously, or you might have someone else close to you that you can do that with. But to not carry our pain and our questions alone, to pray with other people, I do think there is so much in that. And don't give up. God sees your pain. He sees your longing. He hears your prayers, knows what you long for. And even though it might feel like he's far away sometimes, the truth is he is always near us. I also think that, you know, most of us understand that the fact that the result is down to Jesus, it's no excuse to kind of sit back and put our feet up. It doesn't mean there is no work left for us to do. God wants to transform the world and the people that we have around us with his love and grace. But he doesn't want to do it on his own, although of course that would be possible for him. He still chooses to do it together with us. And sometimes that means that we have to work hard, but not by ourselves, not in our own power, but in God's power, together with Jesus, always putting what we have in our hands into his hands. And then faith, the size of a mustard seed, can be mountains, or a little boy's lunch feed 5,000 men plus women and children. And us here tonight, I'm sure, can do all sorts of amazing things together with God. even though we sometimes doubt ourselves and wonder what we have to offer. In Jesus' hand, the little things that we have to offer can grow and become something truly beautiful. Let's pray. God, thank you that it's not down to us. Thank you that we can give what little we have or what big things we have into your hand, and you can transform that and multiply it and make it so beautiful. And God, I pray for your help in seeing that, in seeing ourselves with your eyes and not with our own, sometimes quite judgmental and cold eyes even, but with your loving eyes. Help us to hear your voice when you're calling us to step out of our comfort zone and to do something else, to do something new, and to trust you with whatever it is that we have in our lives, in our person, in our whatever gift it is we have, to give those and hand those over to you and put them in your hand, God. It's not easy always, but I pray that you will keep remind us of doing that again and again. Keep speaking to us through this Bible story, through this biblical truth. The result, the outcome is not down to us, but to you. Amen.